ID0517. We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsleps.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
General Holder, you've
got to
get us out of here now!
I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
FreedomSlips.com. If you plan,
comes down to it, the most important understanding of what this code means is that we are.
Send George a text message anytime at 818-298-6521. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And we're with Jason Quitt, the expert on mysticism. We'll take your calls with him this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Watch out for scammers. They're everywhere trying to take advantage of you, trying to steal your identity, and trying to cash in on you. It's so important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal information gets exposed so often, making it dangerously easy for a cybercriminal to steal your identity. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton, because LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats that you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name, crimes committed by thieves pretending to be you. And if you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but it's easy to help protect yourself with LifeLock. Join now, save up to 25% off your first year with promo code George when you call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head on over to LifeLock.com. Use promo code George for 25% off.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-529-2856. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-529-2856. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-529-2856. 800-200-2856. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-529-2856. 800-529-2856 or BigLou.com.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Jason Quitt. Jason, you were talking a little bit about the pyramids. Exactly why do you think they were constructed?
I think that they had multiple reasons, but I believe from everything that I've been shown is that they are solar symbolism. A pyramid is solar symbolism, especially the ones in Giza. And they were constructed as a calendar to map the stars and the sun to show the cycles of time. It's a gigantic megalithic clock. And that's just one dimension of what the pyramids are, in my opinion. How they were built, I couldn't tell you. That still boggles my mind.
Oh, it is truly remarkable. I'm just not sure, you know, 100,000 Egyptians tugged those boulders and those huge blocks up and formed the pyramids. I don't think they did it that way.
The only thing I could think of is they had some type of acoustic technology that could levitate or help reduce the mass so they could move them and lift them.
Yeah, they had a secret, to be sure. Now, this code that you have discovered tells us what?
It tells us that the most important thing that these mystics looked into, or one of the most important things, was cycles of time, and that there was a reflection of the stars and the sun that could be seen on planet Earth, but most importantly, it was a reflection of the human body, and I think this is the biggest connection to all of this, is that the code is within the physical human body. And the way that ancient people used to measure the sun was they would use their physical bodies as the tool of measurement, because the body follows the fundamental sacred geometry of the universe. It grows with very specific proportions. So when you're looking at the sun in the sky, if you outstretch your arm in front of you and you hold your hand up to the horizon and the sun, from your eye, from your perspective to your hand to the sky and the sun equals 15 degrees, 1 hour of time. So the body was first the measuring tool of the heavens. And the planets and the stars they saw as a reflection within the human body that had an influence and effect on the human body. And even, you know, Leonardo da Vinci again, Vitruvius Man, his famous illustration of the human body in the circle and the square showing the sacred proportions. And those proportions match the ratios that we find in these solar codes. So I think when it really comes down to it, the most important understanding of what this code means is that we are a reflection of the universe. We are a reflection of the cycles of time, and all of this information is encoded within our physical bodies. And by using our physical bodies as the measuring stick, the measuring tool, we can measure the cosmos with our arms, our hands, our fingers, our legs, and our feet. And this is also where the measuring system of the Egyptians come from. When you think of the cubit system is the measurement from the bottom of your elbow to the top or the tip of your middle finger. And the average of that is about 20.5 inches. And then the royal cubit adds 4 finger lengths above that. So the ancient Egyptian measuring system was based, again, on the arm and the hand, and it's the same thing as the eye looking at the hand to the sun. And if you remember, there's a very popular symbol that's found all over the planet. They call it the Hamsa, where it's an illustration of the hand, the open palm hand, with an eye in the center of the palm.
Hmm.
And if you think about that, and what I'm saying to you, is that if you take your hand and you take your eye with your outstretched arm and look directly at your palm, the eye to the palm, to the sun, you get the measurement of time and space.
They were brilliant, weren't they, Jason?
Absolutely. They were so smart that when I'm going through this, even like the native communities in America, like Chaco Canyon, these sun daggers, these petroglyphs that they designed, like, it boggles my mind. I have no idea how they figured it out to be so precisely perfect that they could measure where the sun would be, where the shadow would be cast, and where the sun would shine in a very specific point. It's unbelievably precise. So they were geniuses, and our modern mind, you know, when we look back, it's like we know they worship the sun, but it wasn't a worship of the sun. It was a science. They knew how to map the stars. They knew how to use it to navigate. And, you know, for us, we look at our watch, or today we look at our iPhones to get the time. Back then, there wasn't anything like that. How did they know what day it was? How did they know what month it was?
Exactly.
They were so smart, they can build monuments that they can just look up at the monument, see where the sun is in perspective to the monument, and know exactly what day it is. We don't have that mindset today. We can't see that.
Let's go to the phones for you. Let's start with first-time caller Ruth in Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Ruth. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. I'm so glad to get through to you with such an important conversation. I've tried hundreds of times wondering why people can get through over and over. We have a gold pyramid in Gurnee, Illinois, next to Great America.
Yep.
But your song prior about having known somebody and didn't know where or when, I knew George Armstrong Custer in another life.
Uh-huh.
He married the Indian chief in this life who came back as a woman. He also married the daughter of an Indian chief whose name in Indian means blame the woman. I believe it's possible that she did have a child, a boy. He did not have any children with Libby Custer. They were soulmates. They were both met in Monroe, Michigan. And he went on to become a West Point cadet and officer, and their graves are in New York at West Point. So the times that I had met him, but before I say it, I want to ask the guest, does he know why the Indians called him Son of the Morning Star? I think it is significantly important. The first time I saw him was in about 1957. I was about 9 or 10 years old at the Museum of Science and Industry.
What an incredible gift you possess. What do you think of that, Jason?
Well, the name is definitely significant. The Morning Star is something that these astronomers, these shamans would look at and wait at very specific times. The morning star could be Venus, or it could be Sirius. It could be, you know, there was many types of stars or planets that was called the morning star. It is the star or the light in the sky that comes up above the horizon right as the sun rises. And this was, it was almost like the light of the new world, basically. So it was a very important sign to see a specific planet or a specific star directly above the horizon to bring in the new sun of the day. It was a very sacred ceremony that many cultures around the world would look at.
Are you still attempting astral projection, Jason?
Yeah. It doesn't happen as much as it did about 20 years ago, but usually it happens around new moons, full moons. It just happens more naturally.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joseph. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure, Joe.
I was wondering if your guest has ever stood next to an obelisk. They have a certain phenomena, or shall I say a natural occurrence of physics, where the energy will flow through the obelisk in one direction. If you stand on one side to it, you can feel the energy going through you. On the other side, you could feel it leaving you. So they knew about sacred geometry and energy. The pyramids are like solar collectors. They collect energy. But, you know, George, you know about antennas. The shape of the antenna will dictate the wave. You capture the wave. Well, these pyramids were also mystery schools. They held mystery schools and teachings inside the pyramid. And that probably allowed them to travel out of the body. More importantly, allowed them to receive information from the heavens as well. And also, some of the pyramids had channels of water, like tunnels underneath. And they said, well, there was like tunnels of water in there. Well, when water flows underground around something, it will enervate you. It will take your energy away. And when it doesn't flow, you can get energy. So they use this around the pyramids, from what I was told, it's like a safeguard that nobody would go near the pyramids because they would feel weak. And some people felt that the pyramids might have been a kind of weather control. I think Tesla also experimented with pyramids and sacred geometry. And a further little tidbit, when I was initiated into the Melchizedek, when I was ordained, we did our ordination in New York City, the Mason headquarters, you know, the Mason Hall in New York City. Talk about symbolism.
The Shriners.
Thank
right?
you for taking my call, George.
Okay, Joseph. Okay, you want to react to any of that, Chase?
Yeah, I've heard all of those things, and yes, even I've heard about going into the chambers to leave your body. It was a way of traveling to the stars using the pyramid. Also, the obelisk, remember, it's granite, and granite is made of quartz. So when you take this huge quartz granite obelisk and you put it up on the earth, just the sheer weight of it in that spot is going to create a piezoelectric field, which will move electrons like an oscillation. So there is a phenomenon around the pyramids and obelisks. And this is why they're so important, and they're putting them around the world. But the piezoelectricity is amplified by the solar radiation. So it is like an antenna and receiver, just as the caller said.
Next up, we've got Sandy in Connecticut. Welcome to the show. Hi, Sandy.
Hello. I'm so happy that I'm able to speak to Jason. I think I could listen to him every night of the week. I'd like to relay some things that he's been speaking about going
okay.
back, first of all, 12 years ago, 17 years ago, and present time. About 12 years ago, it goes back when I was divorced and had to do with my mother-in-law. And I wanted to tell my ex-husband things before I would die. I was 65 years old at the time. And I was dreaming. I was asleep, and I woke up, but it was strange because I was speaking very fluently, going through all the things that she had done, and I was hearing it. It was like my body was in two parts, and it reminds me of when Jason spoke in the beginning about sleep paralysis, which I had never heard about, but I had that experience. And I really haven't told anybody about it because it seems many things I'll share, but it seems impossible that you could be awake listening to yourself speak. And the speaking was coming like from my mind. I was listening, but it wasn't that I was I was talking and listening to myself, not knowing that I was talking.
Well, you had a classic case of sleep paralysis, Sandy, don't you think, Jason?
Absolutely. And there is a part of us, you can call it a superconscious or subconscious part of us, that in our dream state can communicate with us. So sometimes in a lucid dream situation, I would stop, and instead of trying to control the dream like most people, I'll just tune into myself at that specific time and start asking questions to myself, and I'll hear a voice giving me the answers in the dream. And I think this is also how Edgar Cayce also started to channel through his sleep.
And Tom's got texts and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Jason? Anything out there? Anything coming in? No. Let's go to Emil in Toronto. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Emil.
Hi, how are you both? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, I've been meditating for a number of years now, and since about 2020, I've noticed that I've been uncontrollably rocking back and forth while meditating. Is this a part of a normal thing? Sorry, I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. Is that normal, Jason?
Many people experience that. I had a couple close friends that would meditate, and they would shake. Or when they're going through a healing, whenever they receive energy healing, their body will shake. And for me, seeing that is normal. It's a way of how the body integrates and moves energy. Some people go a little deeper with that and say it has to do with the nervous system, and the nervous system is kind of unraveling energy through the body and allowing energy to move through. So it doesn't happen to me in that way, but I've seen many people go through that.
Do you use these techniques, Jason, to do healing?
Yes, but it's not in that way. I would use the techniques to build my energy system. And as you build the energy system, you have more access to, let's say, the connection of energy moving through you or the cultivation of energy that you've built. And then as you do energy healing or shamanic work, you connect to that source. And this is what we were talking about earlier, where I said, you know, my energy was Swiss cheese and I had to heal it, because if I had holes or my energy was weak, my energy can be pulled and influenced very easily, and that is not good. But as I do Qigong, as I do the Egyptian postures and meditate, I'm healing the energetic structure around me, so I'm more capable of being in that flow of energy. So for me, Qigong is basically the foundation of healing, because it rebuilds the energy system to allow the energy to move through you.
Jason, give out your website if you would, sir.
Sure. My website is thecrystalsun.com, and you could also find my books on Amazon just by typing in Jason Quitt.
I saw the Jeff Bezos story yesterday and how he started Amazon, and it's amazing where the books just took off like crazy, huh?
You know, it gives an opportunity for self-publishers like myself to work on a book and then put it out right directly to an audience on Amazon.
And get it sold, too. And you do a great job, Jace. We're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Do you have a photo that you think would interest the Coast to Coast audience? We're always on the hunt for unique and unusual images for our photo gallery. To submit your image, simply go to coasttocoastam.com and mouse over the media button on the upper navigation bar, and you'll see the submission option.
polls confirm America can't trust the media. Bill O'Reilly explains why on the O'Reilly Update, weekday afternoons on WPNN, Pensacola's information station.
Painting is one of the least expensive ways to achieve the most dramatic change. A can of quality Benjamin Moore paint can brighten a dull room, enhance the interior and exterior with vibrant colors, and protect your biggest investment, your home. With thousands of colors to choose from, PaintMark can coordinate around samples of fabric, tile, granite, whatever you need to get that custom look. Locally owned and operated by Lynn and Greg Schweigert, PaintMart is located at 2525 West Fairfield, and be sure to check us out on Facebook.
Dick's Cleaners, your go-to destination for all your dry cleaning and alteration needs. Providing top-notch service to the Pensacola area since 1923. Convenience is key. That's why we offer drop-off and pick-up service and have 7 locations. Our team of experienced professionals will handle your clothes with the utmost expertise, ensuring they return to you looking fresh, clean, and ready to impress. From dry cleaning, wash, and fold to alterations, we have you covered. Dick's Cleaners, Pensacola's trusted dry cleaner for over 100 years.
CBS News Brief. The president was in Maui yesterday checking out the devastation from the deadly wildfires. KGMB-TV's Chelsea Davis.
There was actually a lot of protesters, a lot of people holding signs, handmade signs that say you're late. A lot of people felt that he should have been here much sooner.
The number of dead is up to 115 now. Record-breaking rain in Southern California brought flooding and mudslides.
Dreams are going.
Hillary packed a wallop. Boulders tumbled. In Oak Glen, the fear was a repeat of a mudslide that came crashing through last year. That fear came true.
Now there's a tropical storm heading to South Texas. A new report found women in special ops military units face sexism and harassment.
Special operations forces lend themselves to a sort of a hyper sense of manliness, the toughest of the tough, and that makes this more and more difficult.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
For over 30 years, you've allowed Advanced Auto Air and Repair to repair your vehicle. And for this, I would like to say thank you. This is Tim Murph, and I would like to invite you to visit us. We specialize in air conditioning. I also have qualified technicians performing all general repairs, including tune-ups, brakes, electrical, and more. We will diagnose and repair your vehicle in a timely manner and at a fair price. Advanced Auto Air and Repair, 4605 North Palafox. Call 432-4083. That's 432-4083.
Deluxe Printing can design, print, and mail in-house, saving you or your business time and money. Our work speaks for itself, whether it's a custom die-cut pocket folder, magazine, postcard, rack card, stationery, or even a giclée on canvas. Deluxe Printing has it at the lowest price and the highest quality. Stop by our new location, 3320 North W Street, and see why. Deluxe Printing is voted Pensacola's best printer. Deluxe Printing, 850-457-8494, 850-457-8494.
Do you love seafood? How about fresh fried mullet, shrimp and oysters, or blackened mahi-mahi? Hi, I'm Kenneth from the Fishing Hole Restaurant. Come try our daily seafood specials at the Fishing Hole, where you can always get a bite. I'll bet you come back. The Fishing Hole, for the best, freshest seafood in Pensacola, on Brent Lane, across the street from Pensacola Christian Academy, and now in Milton on Avalon Boulevard, right across the street from the new courthouse. We are open from 11 to 8, Monday through Saturday, and our Pensacola location is now open on Sundays. The Fishing Hole, where you can always get a bite.
Are you ready to transform your outdoor space? All About Pavers and Remodeling, your premier destination for all your paving and remodeling needs. Need paver repairs? We've got you covered. Our experts can restore and repair your existing pavers, ensuring they look as good as new. And if you're working on a small project or need to match existing pavers, we offer antique pavers by the unit. 850-393-9705. 850-393-9705. To schedule your consultation, visit www.pensacola.com.
To talk to George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies toll free, call 800-618-8255. To reach George via Skype, use Skype name George97313. Send George a text message anytime at 818-298-6521. From the Gateway to the West, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And, of course, we'll be back in a moment with Jason Quitt and take final phone calls as we talk about the incredible past ancient histories on this planet. On our next Coast to Coast program, Mitch Horwich joins us to talk about the occult. And then later on in the program, Scott Walter joins us to talk about ancient mysteries in the United States. So get ready for that on Coast to Coast. Beyond Belief, that's our television program. Jason was one of our guests, Tom.
He sure was, not too long ago. And what we've done right now, if you head over to beyondbelief.com, we've added 3 ad-free episodes that you can check out. We've got a 7-day free trial and some other goodies there. Check it out. It's beyondbelief.com.
And our free YouTube channel, up and running, 500,000 members and more are part of it, and you can be too.
You sure can. This is interviews of recent and past shows. It's all for free, and it's just hours of entertainment. So if you head over to coasttocoastam.com, just go up to the top. It's the 3rd icon, I believe, from the left. Click that. It's free to subscribe, and you'll have a lot of fun.
And here's something for you to de-stress yourself.
HealthyLooking.com has a combination of products to help with everyday stress, fatigue, and moodiness, while increasing energy and stamina, plus help to fall asleep easier and more soundly while losing weight. Take Elevate in the morning for energy and focus, then Accelerate weight management and sleep combo before bed for a great full night's sleep.
I've maybe gotten 4 to 5 hours of sleep max a night. I'm sleeping between 6 and 7. I wake up to use the bathroom, but I go right back to sleep, which has never happened before, which is pretty awesome.
I notice a higher level of happiness. I also noticed that I wasn't taking naps. I had more energy. I was more in the moment with my kids. Like, we were laughing more. We were more excited. Every single person needs to feel this.
I lost 10 pounds and 5.5 inches off my waist, and I'm so proud of myself. It gives you energy. It helps you sleep better. It just works. I stand by it 100%.
I was on a handful of medications to help me sleep, to help me be happy, tons of therapy. When I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night. I've lost some pounds, inches mainly. My family has me back.
George's Power Pack. Elevate, naturally boosting mental and physical performance while naturally cleansing and detoxifying, and Accelerate for winding down. Improve sleep and weight loss. Plus free gift, Hydrate. Easy to use pH water enhancer and free shipping at HealthyLooking.com. That's HealthyLooking.com or 800-394-9930. 800-394-9930. More energy, better focus, a better mood, plus a great night's sleep. George's Power Pack at HealthyLooking.com.
Remember the fun we had with comic books? The good guys, the bad guys battling it out for the future of the universe? Well, fun and adventure has returned to comics and graphic novels from our friends at Marvelous Entertainment. And all of this is based on the thrilling sci-fi masterpieces of Marvin Sunderland. The acclaimed comic creator Andy Fish and his team got together with Marvin to bring this sense of wonderment and create great comics that you remember in those great old days. Tommy Daly, what do you remember about your comic book days?
I remember really liking the adventure that they would take you on. You just get lost in reading them. And that's why I like Marvelous, because that's exactly what they do. They take you these 7 novels and they take you on a great adventure. That's really cool.
Well, these old comics run the gamut from space adventures to downright scary things, offering now a free bronze membership option that gives you access to behind-the-scenes content, free comics, and other memberships that also provide access to promotional and bonus items like secret decoder rings and puzzles and even more. Just have some fun with it and bring the kids in on it, too. Join the excitement with some great, great tales and titles, too. Go to iwagit.com, I-W-A-G-G-I-T, iwagit.com, where you blast off for free adventure.
On
I want you to feel good, be healthy, and live long. That's why I want you to know about CriticalHealthNews.com, an information-packed website that's enlightening everyone about good health via proper nutrition and supplementation, instead of promoting the failed model of toxic prescription drugs with their side effects and unnecessary surgeries that make you worse, not better. Lots of people talk about vitamins, but only one source I know of says that without all 90 essential nutrients the body needs to function, vitamins alone will not work. Go to CriticalHealthNews.com, listen to the fascinating lectures, watch the intriguing videos, and read the articles that make a whole lot of sense. Your knowledge of good health will increase and materialize into an aha moment. The information's free, and the products you can purchase online may well change your life for the better.
Go to CriticalHealthNews.com or call 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Jason Quitt as we talk about his remarkable work. What projects are you working on now, Jason?
Go to Zoom.
I don't think
we're going to.
There you go.
Hello?
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to be working on a new book, the second part of the Egyptian Postures book. And I am also going to Stairway to the Stars in Las Vegas coming up November 10th, 11th, and 12th to talk about astrogenesis.
Are you finding that people are getting more and more fascinated with these topics?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been talking about this for at least a decade now, if not more, and it just keeps going and going. And what I find fascinating is that the topics keep getting richer. So what I'm learning today is like light years ahead of what has been talked about 10 years ago. So it's really an amazing community.
That's great. Tom's ready with a text and tweet for you. Jace, what do you got, Tom?
Jace, this is from Carrie in West Virginia, and she says, how does Göbekli Tepe and astrogenesis relate to an ice age, or do they?
Well, the way that it relates is that the artifacts and the sites are found when the ice age starts melting. So at the end of the ice age and the first civilizations, you start to get Göbekli Tepe and the Neolithic age. So how does it relate? It just shows you that as the ice receded, cultures began to develop more, and this is where we start to find an explosion of civilization around the planet.
Back to the calls east of the Rockies, Brian in Indianapolis. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, George, I got the Daily Double today. I can't believe it.
Yes, you did.
I had to redial 92 times to get through today.
That happens.
Hey, listen, real quick. Yes, real quick. They call George Armstrong Custer the son of the Morning Star. The Native Americans called him that because he attacked the Native American villages in the pre-dawn hours.
Uh-huh.
That's why they did that. That's why they called him that. So, hey, listen, what a great topic, Jason. And I got to thinking, you were talking about all these out-of-the-body experiences that you have. So I got to thinking, do you have a, when you do this, do you have, I got three questions, and I'll take the answers off the air. When you do this, do you have like a spirit guide that goes with you, or are you by yourself? That got me thinking, do you consider yourself a time traveler when you do this, because you do it so often? And I don't know, I was talking with Tommy. Do you see stuff like George always asked? Do you see stuff that could be or will be? And George, I'll see you in Columbus. We're going to have some good conversation.
Okay, Brian, look forward to that. Let's start with the second question about time traveling. You wrote a book about the John Teeter, the time traveler, a couple of years ago, didn't you?
I did, and that unraveled very quickly. Yeah, I that type of time travel, the John Teeter time travel for me is a hoax, and I kind of figured that out the hard way. And I know a lot of people get angry at me for saying that, but the time travel that I do talk about that I would consider to be very much real is the out-of-body time travel. Because when you leave your body, you're leaving time and space. So you can jump different timelines.
Ladies and gentlemen, your lives are becoming more difficult as the life force of your world is draining away. Have you noticed that as everything around you seems to decline, one thing still grows? It is the power of your rulers. None of their plans and directives have solved your problems or made your life better. The only result has been their increased control over you at the cost of your freedom. Do you know why? You gave them the power. They called for your sacrifice, and you thought it was noble. They said if you worked for yourself and your family, that you were selfish and uncaring, and they made you feel ashamed. They denounced the leaders of industry as greedy exploiters. You agreed. All evil needs to win is the consent of good people. To everyone within the range of my voice, you now have a choice to make. If you decide to support the notion of sacrifice enforced by the state, your game is up. Your world is in a downward spiral, and you will ride it down to destruction. But if you share the values, if you believe that your life is a sacred possession for you to make the most of, if you want to live by the judgment of your own mind, not edicts from the state, then follow our lead. Do not support your own oppressors. Stop letting the system exploit you. Form your own communities on the frontiers of your crumbling world. Your rulers hold you by your endurance to carry the burdens they impose, by your generosity when you hear cries of despair, and above all, by your innocence which cannot grasp the depths of their evil. The world you are living in is the world they wanted. Leave them to it. Those who are eager to build a better world, a world of freedom and opportunity, a world based on mutual respect, in that world you will not receive alms, nor pity, nor forgiveness of sins, but honor, respect, and justice. Don't let the fire go out spark by irreplaceable spark in confusion and despair. The world you desire can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It is yours.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. It's your world. Take it.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily
I'm looking for you. I'll just pull you in here and you can have it. I'll sit here and let you do your thing. How about that? Go back. Okay. Let's see. Almost got you here. See, I better do this right or I'll hang up. Okay, wait a minute. Almost. I guess. I just got his contact here, so I'm trying to dig it up. Okay. What is it? There we go. Okay, add. Here we go. Oops, wrong. Oops. Yeah, that's right. All right, there we go. All right. How about that? Okay, he's having a little bit of a connection issue here, it looks like.
Good afternoon.
There we go. You're here, bro. Hey, look, I'm going to let you have it. Go for it, man. There we go.
Okay, let me turn off my listening because it's delayed just slightly. And we're here. Welcome, Rev Radio listeners. This is Dr. Lenny Time. And I'm here with Comet, I suppose. And he's going to let me ramble on. So I'd like to say that Revolution Radio is listener supported so that you all can kick in if you all can kick in. And, now I got to figure out where I want to go with this. But, you know, I've been looking for an opportunity to sort of ramble on about something I think that's really important called group theory. And I'm a chemist. My mind is out there in the chemistry of atoms and molecules and creative bonds and things like that. And I've been working on theories of sociochemistry, trying to take the principles of chemistry and apply them to the social sphere of what's going on. And so the social sphere of what's going on is one of those things that, I don't know, I used to believe in the world. Now I sort of stare at the world in disbelief and shake my head and wonder how we could get to the point where someone like Fauci would say, I am the science, when as a scientist, I quit the world of science because it just wasn't listening. It wasn't that. It was that I went from the university system to application fields in real life work. And the university system in no way prepared me for anything outside the university system, which was the belief I carried until I was nearly 30 years old. And so I got into the system at about 30. And by the time I was 42, I had worked for NASA. I had taught at a community college. And I had operated the analytical lab of a nickel mine. And I was about to embark on a journey working at a zoo, creating math and science programs for students in high school and middle school, although I didn't know at the time that I was going to be doing that. And that happened at the same time that they had No Child Left Behind, Nancy Reagan's thing. And that really meant no child gets ahead. And so we see the world has changed quite a bit since I worked in it. But when I worked in the world, I gave up the entire culture that I had developed getting through by staying within the university system. So real life hit a wall sometime around 2005. And I went solo into a group of one, just me out there. I managed to live out of a van for, maybe 6-7 months, tested living out in the wilderness alone, found that I could do fine out there if I needed to, but 5 consecutive days of rain convinced me that maybe it's better to live in a structure rather than a tent. But anyway, I've traveled the entire set of states on the West Coast since that time, and I've been cross-country a couple times, and I've decided that the world we live in can't be real. But if I take the principles of chemistry, which act on molecules and atoms, and which are certainly real to me, what I end up doing is I end up going into space and looking at the structure that relates the atoms to the molecules, such that each atom has a local environment with other atoms that build and build and build. And most of those environments are very, very similar because they're from carbon-carbon bond overlaps, and that just works on a very base level. But organic chemistry, when you apply it as carbon structure to grow out into something like humans, kind of is a fractal of itself. And by what I mean is that at that level, there must be consciousness and brainwave thinking and things going on. And so it's all about the water. And the better we do with water at our level, the better our bodies do with water over the course of levels, and the better things work out. But I was going to group theory. And group theory is, it's based on chemistry, but it's based on small groups of people coming together and being effectively functional. And by functionality, I mean addressing some issue of importance so that we can get away from the way it is and the way it always has been and try something completely different as the current operating system crashes and we can reboot the system. But we got to question ourselves on whether we want to reboot or just transfer to another system. But when we find that the new system they have for us to transfer to is the same system upgraded as the old system, which didn't work, we're like going from Microsoft Windows 10 to Microsoft Windows 11 and stepping off the edge of the cliff with the rest of the other lemmings. So I need a new computer, and I will buy a new computer. I will not attempt to refurbish an old computer to the new frame of reference, which sort of increases the technology they want to give me past the capacity of the chips in my computer to handle it. So I've got a lot of spare chips sitting around, but apparently the step up in ability of the corporation to interface with the internet means that each and every one of us are going to have to upgrade our computer systems at great cost to us on human scale and great profit to corporation on corporate scale. And so in looking for ways of fixing the system that we have imposed upon us, I do not suggest that we oppose the system and try and change things for the better. It is way too much work for too little good. I suggest that what we do is go into our space and time and form small groups of five or more people where we can get together in places like Skype or Zoom or Discord or anywhere where we can talk, preferably with faces to talk to, but that's not completely necessary, and start discussing things of common interest in groups where we have our own friend circle and come up with consensus among our group of what it is we'd like to see to fix the next generation of system up the way we can get it to work for everybody from the beginning, as opposed to creating a group that is managed top down by a single individual who spends more money than anyone else and takes things in a direction that they just can't handle. And so, I don't know. The reality is that the reality isn't. And there are changes in my personal reality that tell me that even though I'm here in the here and now, I'm affecting the actions of me in a here and now that's not really in this here and now. And so I'm not certain of what's going on, but I know the reflection back from the mirror tells me that there are subtle differences that weren't here when I first noticed when I was here in this here, which is not really here, but is obviously here because this is where my consciousness is. But most people do not have their consciousness here. And then we have to wonder what consciousness is and where it comes from. And I believe it comes from the water, and that the water can mediate vibration at a certain level. And it's interesting because water is everywhere. But when you get down to a single atom of water, that H2O that we have represented in chemistry, which really is a structured thing. And there's all sorts of structure proof using instrumentation that I learned to use when I was learning my craft of chemistry, but which is not available anymore to anyone that's not coordinated within the system by working for either a corporation or a university. But the universities are corporations, or the government, which is a corporation, or can we discorporate? I mean, they make it seem like something different. But, you know, if all artificial intelligence was like data, or it came out of Asimov's The Rest of the Robots, or iRobot, which is about R. Daniel Olivaux. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff talking about robots in Asimov's work from the 1950s that sort of isn't considered at this point, but the three rules of robotics about how human form robots are not allowed to violate the integrity of human form humans and such is really worth taking as a philosophy. But right now, philosophy is a walk on the slippery rocks of what the heck are they teaching people? And I've decided that my role as a teacher is one of those that I'm going to have to recreate as a storyteller and as the cross your eyes integrator and as a guest on Dennis's show, The Feral Philosopher, who, not sure where Dennis is today. We wish the best of him and hope he can solve his communications problems. But knowing how things work, if you make the radar screen, you have to wade through all sorts of personal intelligence gobbledygook in order to get yourself back to the point where you can interact with the next level of world. But people think that levels go up in some sort of sense, that when they level up, they're supposed to get a reward and be handed a new weapon and get some experience points. But we don't know when we get the experience to cross to another level. And I made a big level jump in retrospect back March, April of last year. And only now is it coming to me that I've been working on a shoestring trying to make ends meet when, in the reality of everything that goes on, I'm way more cognizant of what the field is than anyone I know. And the field is shifting by the day. And it's important for each of us to get in tune with our own field and tune that into the earth field. And the Schumann resonance will tell us what the earth field really is. But in a way, the connection that you make with the earth through the trees and your pets and the just being out there in contact is way more important than you've been taught to think it is. It's a matter of cleaning up your own stratosphere and working to get your water fitted right. I strongly encourage everybody to look into shungite. And if somebody is kind enough to find out what Nancy's URL is and drop that into the text chat and Revolution Radio, Nancy was Mona's contact who used to get shungite. And I hold my hat off to Mona, dear, and miss her very much. But the feral hippie lives on Studio B, going on with reruns of her previous shows. And somehow when it comes to COVID, I can't listen to it the first time, so I don't want to listen to it the second time or the third time or the fourth time. I'm talking about maybe each of us can remake the world in the image that we think it ought to be and live the life to the best of our ability to step into that ought to be. And that way we ought to be exactly where we are. And if we're in our own space in a good vibrational mode to where we are, it seems to me that we can improve the vibration of everyone who comes in contact with us. So I work at the Mountain Healing Center, but the Mountain Healing Center is undergoing renovations to reach the next phase of being able to heal more people who are interested in getting away from it all, eating good food, walking in a forest, listening to herbs and cultures that are not of human intelligence, but darn well know what's going on in their own microcosm. One of the things I truly treasure is the ability to get out and walk in the woods. And I found if I carried a compass in that, I could make lots of time getting to places where there was a great view, or going to places that I had been taught about when I lived in Oregon and could go up the North Umpqua or down the South Umpqua and just find places to hang out in the wilderness that wasn't really wilderness. I mean, Forest Service is everywhere. And going to a place that's a Forest Service campground in a wilderness gives you a sense of community of however many people are there at the time when you're there. And if you camp out during the week, there's usually only a couple people there. And if it's towards a weekend, the number of people grows with the better weather moving into the summer. And for the last several years, I haven't been back to the place that's really my wilderness home, but I'm sure it's doing great because I'm doing great. And I feel really connected to places in the earth where humans fear to tread. But I've been asking myself about humans lately because I listened to a guy called Cliff High who comes on and always says, hello, humans, twice at the beginning of his broadcast. And it makes me wonder what he's talking to, because, you know, in Fibonacci, there are two ones. And if he's covering both ones, the whole deal, he's speaking for all humans, and then he's speaking to each one of his listeners on a personal one-to-one basis. It's an extremely effective opening pitch. On my shows, you'll always hear me say, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are in the world today, you're on the new way, or the way new way, or something like that. And that will tell you that that's my YouTube branding to start getting a following in the audience. But I'm the Mad Doctor Time. And the Mad Doctor Time is mad as in Alfred E. Newman and Mad Magazine mad, not angry mad. But he spent some time angry mad and published poetry under the name of Lemmy Out. And Lemmy Out preceded Doc Time and was a poet as opposed to being a scientist. And they're both characters in a personal LARP that has expanded to the point where the next goal in the LARP is 377. And for anybody who knows growth in a Fibonacci form, that same Fibonacci form that George Norrie and his guest were talking about in the last hour that Da Vinci used underneath his paintings and the builders of the pyramid seemed to understand. That is a great accomplishment. And 377 people who get involved in something that Dr. Lenny Time is working on personally will set off the next level jump of a new game as opposed to the previous game. The game at first level started in 2001, maybe a little earlier, but I didn't know it. But formally, in 2001, when I got to the zoo, we had formed the Outdoor Natural Resources Research Institute, ONNRI, which allowed us to be a whole bunch of honorary scientists. And we were working at the zoo, and we came up with the idea that students in middle school, if they self-selected into an advanced science program, could learn a protocol that was used by the Forest Service, the Department of Agriculture, the Watershed Council, and other groups to measure outdoor environmental health in the woods. And by taking students out there and teaching them how to use the equipment and what the protocol was, we could educate them in a sliver of reality and give them way more experience than they would get when they would otherwise be in high school, because in middle school they had learned this protocol and figured out the proper way of doing it and could hire on as interns and get those little stars for the resume. But as I said, No Child Left Behind turned into No Child Gets Ahead. And over the next 2 years, even though the program was amazingly successful for the students, it got phased out because of all sorts of reasons that are not germane to the topic. But we started with something called the Bug Zone. And the Bug Zone involved macro invertebrates in benthic environments. Benthic is what you get at the bottom of a river or a stream. You know how it is with water flowing over rocks and stuff. There's all sorts of plant growth and all sorts of bugs that live in the water. And you can take the bugs which are crawling around in the bottom, and by analyzing the distribution of bugs, you could tell what the quality of the water was. And if there was a lot of black fly larvae or things like that, it told you that there was some source of pollution. Whereas otherwise, you get mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies, all sorts of very interesting bugs who have an intelligence level and an ecosystem all their own. But in order to collect the sample, you have to go into the stream and follow a protocol that digs up the ground in a 1 foot square in front of your D-net. And a D-net has a flat base and a bar around it that forms a D-shape. And when you put the long base of the D down and you're flipping around in the rocks in the 1 foot square in front of the net, everything you knock off the rocks goes into the net, and you can collect all the stuff out of the net into a bucket. And there were 8 D net samples in the river within half a mile that had to be combined into one sample and analyzed for the population. And so the step after you've collected the sample is to go out and collect all the bugs that are actually in the stuff you picked up in the bucket, rubbing them off of the rocks and taking out the shrubbery and the stuff that isn't bug, and then finding all the bugs, separating them with tweezers and lights in a laboratory, picking them out one by one, and then counting what they are. And so the entomologist that knew what he was doing that came into the bug zone, spent 5 Saturdays for 4 hours with the students and a population of older folks who belonged at the zoo who are called docents and who are also ornery people. So we had our volunteers of adults so that there was about one adult to every 3 or 4 students, and the docents acted as conduits to exchange information with the students when they were learning. So after 5 Saturdays of 4 hours on the Saturday during the month of, I think we did it in March and April. By May, students were comfortable to get into their wetsuits and go out on a test run, which was really a nice photo op. And the end of our canned class at the zoo for Bug Zone. And so then we had the students who had learned this project go out over the summer and work with people who collected bugs. And we sent a sample that we had collected into the ARIMS database, which is a database of stream quality based on this bug collection. And they got rated at like 82% for their analysis. And a couple of the students were like, 82%? I thought we did better than that. And so they reviewed stuff, and they refreshed it, and they sent it in again, and they claimed that the judges had made some mistakes and that they really had done better. And when it came back, they were now up to 93%, and that seemed to satisfy everybody. And the whole thing was just magic, where we got 2 generations, a group of middle school, high school age kids, and a group of older, freshly retired folks together to work with each other and make things happen. And it really did. And then we had other zones like forest zone and water zone. Water zone, where we taught water quality monitoring with test equipment like pH meters and conductivity devices and measured fecal coliforms and other things that might come from cows. And it was at a time where learning, the students were mostly self-selected, and we developed a rapport with them, but the high schools were upset because students couldn't keep the schedule that had them in their seats during classes and also take advantage of some of the opportunities they had in the real world. And some of the teachers found that they were a little jealous of the freedom time. And for the agencies, they knew the students did good work, and if they had to do the work themselves, they couldn't match the quality. And so they really didn't want the students around, forcing them to actually learn to do their job better. So there was some animosity on that end also. And the funding for the whole program came out of BLM Title II funds, which were given to Oregon to replace other funds that had been previously, I don't know. The whole thing was, it was a short-term thing that got it all launched. And without the major funding for bringing in the entomologist, who cost more than my salary for the year, just to get him to give 5 Saturdays to us. But, you know, it was worth our while. The education that students get nowadays is more indoctrination, or as Mona used to say, edumacation. But we can really learn to learn by playing roles in LARPs, live action role plays, And LARPing got a bad name because it was on the internet used to poke fun, and people would stage fights just for people to watch. I think we have some major problems in the world that we really need to get our hands around, and that if we can't stop and do things differently, we're sunk. Now, it's worth letting the system go over the cliff and sinking us, but we have to have something to come back with that's better than we have now. And we have to think about it, because it has to work for every one of us, and it has to work for each one of us. Nature starts with two ones, then that's the range of scale, of human scale. And in group theory, a group of two is better than a group of one in the amount of work that the two people can get by cooperating and working with each other. I find it's almost a third of a person more if you have a partner who knows what's going on and can really run with the premise on their own. The second person understanding the premise and coming as a group of two is valued at 2 1/3 persons. Adding a third person to the group of three to get up another level to a group of three, Fibonacci 1 1 2 3, a group of three works really, really well, and I think it gets as much done as a group of four. Adding that fourth person brings another person in, but now you've got three square offs, 2 and 2 and 2, instead of a 2 and a 1, but it works as a group of a three or a group of four, is a very effective group at having conversations once people can get it to the point where they learn not to talk over each other and to realize that somebody else is going to drop in when they take a breath, not go into long diatribes where they don't stop talking and don't let anybody cut in. If you don't want anybody to come in, just do a monologue like this one. So anyway, three or four people is a group of three. When you get a group of five, that's when the magic actually starts. And a group of five can take in any direction. But having an intelligible conversation where each member of the group of five gets 20% of the time to do their own talking, and nobody is really the leader of the group, that tends to be about the limit of individual dynamics. I mean, if you want to have somebody who leads the group, you can actually get up 6 and 7, which are equivalent to 5, the same way 4 is equivalent to 3, but somewhere in that group of 5, 6, 7 people, you're going to reset the order of the group from a first order group, which is just dealing with people, to a second order group, which has a function, a functional group. And this comes back to the chemistry rather than the sociology of sociochemistry, because a functional group in organic chemistry is a leaving group in a reaction that allows binding between chemical entities that wouldn't otherwise bind if there was no attractive force to get them together. So halogens are good leaving groups, hydroxyls are good leaving groups, and if you want to take a doc version of chemistry, I'm looking at thinking that maybe I can do a chemistry class sometime in the fall of 24 or the winter of 25, but we're not into that level where Doc is able to take the time to put an entire class together, and we also are going to need to choose our textbooks wisely, because I want to be able to criticize what we're teaching on the fly as we're teaching it, because we have an understanding that comes from many other people coming in and contributing to each other. Whereas the idea of how things work on a macro scale is similar to how things work on a micro scale, as above, so below. And so by understanding the complexity of human scale and applying it back down to atomic scale, we can maybe use the principles of group theory on atomic scale, which are mostly mathematical and involve matrix algebra and some integration and derivation. But in a way, it seems that mathematics and science have weaved themselves into a framework of not accepting anything that doesn't already belong unless it can be worked up through the system. And science advances one funeral at a time, and you're not really allowed to accept anything that's not out there presented from in here to get out there. And as soon as somebody dies, the vultures feed on the carcass. And sometimes the carcass stands up to the vultures very well. But even great persons like Linus Pauling and Buckminster Fuller are not people who are on the radar screen of awareness today, even though 30 years ago when I was in graduate school, 40 years ago when I was in graduate school, gee, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Doc is getting old. But, you know, with elderliness comes wisdom. And I want to put in a plug here for the Virtually Not Alone Network. Anytime you see a little bubble in the upper right-hand corner of a video, that person is amongst us who are virtually not alone. And it's where people who are in reality mostly loners, by self-choice or the COVIDiocy or whatever reason, can tune into the networks of the Virtually Not Alone and be together with other people to contribute conversation and voice to the system. And when you take that a little bigger, what you realize is that those second-order groups of people who have function that can be from 5 to 21 people, but are oriented to a focus of some sort, that's something where us virtually not alone people are just beginning to tap the iceberg of getting groups together at that range. But, you know, some people who do YouTubes and other things have 20, 30, 40,000 followers. And to get a bunch of active people amongst their followers who are discussing the conversations like we are, well, there's a group trying to do that also. And key to the event is called the after party. And I don't know about you, but Doc has really never experienced these after parties because he was always in the tailgate party and then going on to the event, and by participating in the event got so into it that when the event was over, he was bushed and went home and crawled into bed. And that after party where people got together and schmoozed and talked about the event and made all sorts of insight and derivation, well, Doc wasn't there to hear all that. And so he went on living his life, not even knowing that the after party existed. But Doc's a bit strange, and Doc is a character in a LARP. And he's based on the true person who is behind Doc Time, but do not believe for a moment that this character is the true person and that what he professes to say matters to anything in any shape or form. And the reason that we're able to go on this monologue down this road is because we're not paying attention to what's going on in the major league distraction that's trying to tell us that we should care more about Travis and what's-her-name's romance because it's Valentine's Day and he just won the Super Bowl and, ah, isn't that cute? But in reality, they're coming to take us away, ha ha ho ho hee hee, to the funny farm where, yeah. I don't know how much is real and how much is not real and how much they track us and how much the conscious intelligence within this body can affect on any other scale. But I have a feeling that we go through the consciousness in this body so many times in so many conscious forms that what we do in this form now today makes a huge amount of difference in what the perception of our reality is tomorrow. So like coming to be on Revolution Radio right now came only because we were in the chat room wondering where our fellow compatriot Dennis was. And I was going to be on Dennis's show today to chat with him about some of these things. And Dennis didn't make it. But we know Dennis's system is going haywire because everybody's system is going haywire. And the electronic age requires a stable power supply, and by withdrawing our energy from the system and creating new energy flow to a different system, we're weakening the powers that be and able to change the reality of the situation so that we can do magic. Hi, magic. And we can do things that you wouldn't believe we could do otherwise. Hi, Lizzie. And so many people are there. Hi, Mitzi. That you get this feeling that one-on-one, if you make enough connections, you have a network of people in the space of individuals. And that these functional groups of five or more people can raise up to the scale where when we're ready to go from second order to third order, the functional groups will actually come together to put their different functions with each other to try and build some sort of coordination sphere that works for every individual on level one. And I see that as being a couple years down the road if we make the game entertaining enough to get feedback back and forth. So being virtually not alone and connected into the, I want to say internet, and I don't want to say internet, and I want to say metaverse, and I don't want to say metaverse, but if you need a metaverse, I want to read Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson for an idea of what the metaverse is in terms of the 1990s coming up with it. Stevenson does a marvelous job in Snow Crash and is probably the best contemporary author of fantasy fiction out there. It's a world called crypto fiction, but don't interfere it with the crypto fiction reality of the LARPs like we used to play on Steam. Thank you, All Seeing You, for your insight. And so much goes on in the world that the connections that we make are 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon closer. than we actually believe. And so if you want to change your reality, the first thing you have to do is get out of the set reality that your television talks you into. This is Revolution Radio. I'm not out there to create an armed revolution, although I could see it happening. I'm out to create an alternative way, a different way, a way, W-E-I-G-H, of measuring how things work. I have figured out that time travel is as easy as me getting on my legs and walking up into town. That's time traveling. But I've also noticed that if I set something up in advance, I can go into town with it already set up and have the experience that I wasn't expecting, because people weren't expecting time travel. And I'm with Einstein, the dog that moved 1 minute in Doc's car. You can look at me as another form of that dog from Back to the Future. But I named my cat Einstein after the dog Einstein in Back to the Future, and recently got to watch all 3 episodes of it. Anything you can watch on time travel is absolutely worth watching. And if you have the time, the movie 41 can be found for free on YouTube, and will give you something to think about. Anyway, as I look down at the clock, I see that I have all of 2 or 3 minutes before the music plays. And I would like to thank everybody in the chat room for everything you said. I didn't go into the chat room because I have a habit of looking at what's going on in the chat and distracting me from the monologue I wanted to talk to. The monologue today was on group theory, and it was about human-scale first-order group theory leading to functional groups, which are second-scale group theory, which will lead to third-order group theory, which I'm not going to name right now, but fourth-order group theory is community. And there's a jump between functional groups and community, but it is fuzzy. And I don't want to elaborate on fuzziness when I have this space. I'd like to thank Comet for grabbing me. It was an interesting hookup through Skype, because I set up my Skype name and system maybe in the 1980s. And that was way before Doc Time even thought about being Doc Time. And the Doc Time that you know and love is probably the 3rd or 4th iteration of the same fellow. And it's morphing into a 5th iteration as it becomes clearer that more of us have to step up and be individual ones, because they can't control it on one surface. If we're part of the great divide, we're in a 60-40 range where 60% of the population bullies the other 40% of the population, because 40% of the population doesn't want any part of a political system which bullies the people who are involved in the system. So I would like to thank everybody for listening. I would like to thank everybody for participating. And I am going to say, it really makes my heart feel good to know that we've got people who aren't going to give it up because they hurt our feelings. We can definitely, definitely get through and do better. I see Mayus talking about Uber and Lyft drivers. Hats off to the Lyft drivers who got me around the world. It has been a good day. It is raining outside, and I'm just part of another PSYOP, so do your saving throws, and everybody shake it, because that's the way it happens to be here on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February in 2024. It is what it is.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick, Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement. Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom.